blessing than a new Dodge truck. Hallelujah. What happened last year, it's gone. Look forward to what God's going to do this year. Don't look back, look forward. I like that, buddy. Praise God. If you have your Bibles for just a few moments, praise the Lord. Open them to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. If I get to minister a three-point sermon, it won't take that all that long. But I'll tell you, this has been a glorious service. If we didn't do anything else, God has spoken here today. And this is in line with that, because I want to talk to you a little bit of return, actually, to a subject of growing in the furnace of affliction. Everybody say that with me this morning. Growing, not glowing, but growing in the growing. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. And we're going to talk about growing in the furnace of affliction. Now, the Bible says, and I want you to understand, affliction is not talking here in the sense of physical problems. It's talking about all of the persecutions and temptations is coupled in with persecutions. One of the way the devil tries to oppress Christians is not only by persecuting them from without, but tempting them from within. Amen. Amen? So temptation involves persecution and the tendency and the propensity of our flesh to sin and to go after the things that God has forbidden. But either way, and coupled together, the enemy comes. It's kind of a two-pronged attack when we use the word temptation. It involves persecution and the propensity of our flesh to sin. And you may have lost some habits. When God delivered me from nicotine, one of my habits that I loved, I'd get up in the morning with the flu, and the first thing I'd reach for before a cough drop or NyQuil or whatever, the first thing I'd reach for was my cigarette. That and hack and cough and but I had to get that nicotine in me. God delivered me from that when I became a Christian, and once He delivered me from it, I've never had a problem with it. If someone smokes near me, it turns me off. It doesn't make me want one. It makes me, amen. It's not good. God delivered me for a taste for alcohol. If you drink enough of it, you can develop a taste for it. And there were certain things that I had a taste for. Well, God delivered me from that. And I could see people drinking. Don't bother me. I'm not drawn in that area. Amen. But there are other areas that the devil chooses. And by the way, if he finds out that that don't bother you, be assured he's not going to bother tempting you in that area. Amen. He's going to find other ways. You know one of the ways he tempted Paul? You know one of the ways he tempted Paul? That propensity toward pride in him? By the many revelations. Isn't it amazing that the devil came using something good and from God in his life to tempt him? And Paul said, lest I be lifted up above measure because of the many revelations that God has given me. There was given to me, or assigned to me, an emissary from hell to buffet me. Can you imagine someone that was such a threat to the devil? And that word emissary means a special agent. Amen. Whatever the devil's bent. By the way, let me tell you something about the devil today that you need to know. He is not a god. He is a fallen angel. He is not omnipresent. Amen. But he has a lot of cohorts working with him called demons, spirits. Amen. He chose one of those spirits. See, the devil is the devil can't be everywhere at once. He can't mess with us. So we just use the devil kind of generically, but it's actually one of his cohorts. And when he gives one of them, one of his best, an assignment to go and buffet Paul. Amen. Go and stir up trouble. Everywhere he goes, stir up trouble. Have them beat him. Have them hate him. Have them want to kill him. Amen. And then on top of that, tempt him to become proud. So it's two-pronged temptation. Blessed is the man that endures temptation. That includes persecution. Amen. And the testing of our faith. And it also includes the drawing of our flesh toward the things that God has forbidden. Amen. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And pride would have ruined the example of the Apostle Paul It would have ruined him as a pure vessel to be used of God. So he allowed things to come into his life to keep him dependent on him. And Paul, when he understood this, he had to be very honest with himself. I don't know if we're ready to get that honest, but people are wanting to escape every trial, every test, everything that would humble them and make them dependent on the Lord. And there are faith messages out there, hyper faith I call it, that tells you you can come to that level. Why should people come here for a cross when they can go somewhere else and not have to bear a cross? And yet you can't follow Christ without the cross.
Amen.
Why should they come here for self-denial when they can go somewhere else for self-fulfillment and selfish reasons for fulfilling my dreams? God lives to fulfill my dreams. God lives to give me everything that my heart could desire. But see, when you really fall in love with Jesus, your heart's desire changes, amen, to what His will becomes the prominent and predominant thing in your life. That's why you can pray, "Not my will, thine." And not be sad about it.
Yeah.
Can you say amen? You can grow in this place of affliction. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. When you get saved, it's like I tell you so many times. I read some of those deep theological documents, Farside, amen, in the funnies. And at hunting season, because one of the preachers I meet with is an avid hunter. He loves to sit up in a deer stand and watch for Bambi to come down, or Bambi's mama. He's actually not supposed to shoot Bambi or Bambi's mama. But in fact, I kind of looked at him because, you know, I think deer are pretty neat looking things, but they need thinning out so they don't starve to death. So I guess it's a service when you know, just make sure you kill him quick. But I'm just not into killing deer. But this is his, oh, he loves it. His eyes light up. And he said, "I only kill the deer with the red eyes that snort and paw the ground." Well, there's no deer like that. I know you're city folk and you wouldn't understand, but there is no deer like that. Amen. They got them big, pretty brown eyes like me. Anyway, and nobody wants to shoot a beautiful animal like that except for meat. But these guys do it for sport. But I remember telling him, I said, "You know, during the hunting season, I saw on the far side this deer standing up on his hind legs. And there's three deer standing on their hind legs. And there's a sign that says, 'Hunting season, open today.' And three deer are standing up having a conversation. And one of them has a huge target, a birthmark, just like a target for a bow and arrow, right on his chest over his heart. And the other two are looking at him, and one of them says, 'Bummer of a birthmark, Earl.'" When you get saved, when I get saved, you've got a birthmark. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? And believe me, the enemy of your soul sees you as a target for temptation, a target for persecution. And that is under the heading of affliction. And the Bible said many are the afflictions. Jesus put it this way: in this world, you're a target. You're going to have, you as a Christian are going to have thelpsis, pressure, anguish. It's going to come to every one of us. Can you say amen?
Amen.
There's no escaping it. Anybody that thinks they can escape that is unbiblical, unscriptural. Christ promised it in His Word. However, I've never seen that scripture in a promise box. Remember the promise box, the one that looked like bread, and you pull out a promise a day? There's something they don't put in there that He promised. Amen? I mean, you can pull out, "My God shall supply all of my need according to His riches and glory in Jesus Christ." Can you say amen? You pull that out, put that on the fridge for the week. Can you say amen? But and you can go down through the promises. "I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. I will go with thee all the way, even unto the end of the age. Call upon me in the time of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." We stick that on the fridge for a week. But here's something that's not even in the box of promises, and yet it's a clear promise from God. "All those that live godly shall suffer persecution." It's a promise. Praise God. "In this world you shall have..." Boy, that's a promise, isn't it? And God's a promise keeper. No, He's not causing it. But you live in a fallen world in a faulty body. And I promise you, there's no one going to get into a hyper faith level where you never suffer persecution. If you're not persecuted, you're not living godly. It's just that simple. But if you live for God, you're a target. Don't be afraid of that. Jesus said, in this world, you'll have tribulation. And he knew he'd say, oh, man. Everybody say, oh, man. Oh, man. I mean, that's not what I want to hear. I don't want to hear about anguish and pressure. Well, whether you want to hear it or not, you can't live in la-la land. Amen. It comes to everybody. Everybody, all those, amen. Who are all of these people that wash their robes? These are they who have come through great tribulation. We're not talking about just the great tribulation, but great tribulation because we live in this fallen world. Some people see tribulation, they just think of that time, that 7-year period. The Bible said if you're in the kingdom of God, there was pressure against you, and you had to go against that pressure. The world, the devil, and your own flesh was your enemy when God called you. Some of us had these situations going on where you're being pulled. If I come to Christ, I can't keep sinning like this. I got to repent of my sin. Am I really ready to give up my sin? Pressure was put on. Pressure was brought to bear. The Bible said, through much tribulation, we enter into the kingdom of God. And in this world, you will have tribulation. Amen? Amen? And these are they who did what? Without exception, came through great tribulation. The pressure was on. They stood the test. The pressure was on. Amen. They survived all of that. God was with them. Grace was upon them. God's strength and power was made available to them. Can you say amen? They didn't get defeated in this time of affliction. They actually grew stronger. The Bible said after you've suffered for a while, God will strengthen you, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. Can you say amen? I've suffered for a while. And I imagine some more is going to come. But I am established. I love what Dale used to say when, and she's still saying it, I know, in her heart. She's facing some situations right now. But listen, this is going to make you or it's going to break you. You're going to dig deeper or you're going to be moved. Amen. If you dig deeper and lay your foundation on a rock, it still comes. Just like it always came. Can you say amen? The wind beats upon that house. Amen. The rain and hail assail it. The waves threaten to move it off its foundation. But after the storm has ceased and the flood tides have seceded. Amen. I want to tell you something. It's still standing. Yes. Can you say amen? Because it's upon a rock. Praise God. Hallelujah. He that hears my words and doeth them, I shall show you what he's like. He's like a man that digged deep and laid his foundation on a rock, and it didn't stop the storm. Amen. The storm came, but the storm couldn't move it. That's what God is after. When I am afflicted, I go to the Word of God. I dig deeper. Amen. And every time I dig deeper, I find solid rock. We were talking today. I love the way God talks in his word because, amen, preachers try to explain it all. We just need to teach. We need to preach it like it's written. I love, you can't help but get faith from hearing the way God talks because God don't mince words. If you abide in me and my word abides in you. Listen to how God talks. Oh, preachers just get sometimes mealy-mouthed about it. Amen. Listen, God talks so plain. God talks so clear. Amen. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will ask what you will and it will be given unto you. When two or more of you come together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And if two of you shall agree as asking, touching anything that they ask, it shall be granted you of my Father, which is in heaven. Can you say amen? Heretofore, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask that you might receive, that your joy might be full. Can you say amen? Whatever you ask in prayer believing, you shall receive. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. I love the way God talks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If there be any sick among you, let them call the elders of the church. Let them anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. I love the way God talks. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you had the faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say unto that mountain, be thou removed. And if you believe that what you say, and the only way you can believe that is to know the will of God, bow to the will of God, amen, and proclaim the will of God. And if you believe that what you say, because it's so in line with God's will and purpose, yes, shall come to pass. Yes, you will have what you say when you say what He wills. Whoa. Can you say amen? I said you'll have what you say when you say what He wills. I said you'll have what you say. This is not just a matter of faith. Amen, because then we could just do anything we wanted. No, it's saying you can get anything done that He wants done. The mountain that stands before you shall become as a plain, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I love the way God talks. I love the way God talks, because He just don't mince words. That's why faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Amen. We were sitting in a little pastor's meeting, and we were talking about some ministers that were really good Bible teachers, but they just don't, they believe that the days of miracles are over. Now see, they don't talk like God talks. Can you say amen? Amen? And we got into that discussion. I said, you know, that'd be hard pressed to, number one, biblically, you can't do that. You can't do it with this Bible. Amen. Because it's so clear and so plain. And I said, something else, you can never teach another message on prayer. Because for God to answer, you know what a miracle is? Let me define it from Webster's dictionary, one of those little short definitions. A miracle is a supernatural intervention in the normal course of human affairs. That means if God does anything to change anything down here, affect it in any way, influence it in any way, He has just violated a lot of doctrine of a lot of churches, and He worked a miracle. Can you say amen? You know what happens when they start a building program? They say, pray that the Lord will help us get this done. Well, if God helps, He has supernaturally intervened in the normal course of human affairs. Amen. If you teach a seminar on prayer, and these guys are big on prayer, why should we pray? God can't move. His hands have been tied by their theology. Can you say amen? God has to sit impotent. We have made God impotent instead of omnipotent. Can you say amen? He's not impotent. He's omnipotent. Can you say amen? And what separated the true God from the prophets of Baal? It was a power encounter that changed everything. Can you say amen? Let the God that answers. Hallelujah. God loves to answer prayer because it sets Him apart from the gods who are no gods. I like J. Vernon McGee. He's a good teacher in many things, but he just don't believe in miracles. Amen. I like the theme song, How Firm a Foundation. He's with the Lord now. He knows better. But amen. Praise God. Amen. You can't relegate him to, oh my goodness gracious, church. God was working miracles in the old covenant, but now we got a Bible, so he quits. The Bible just helps define him. It helps us to know this God. He's the Lord God of Israel. Got news for you. He changes not from everlasting to everlasting. He is God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today. Everybody say today. Amen. And forever. Glory be to God. Why stand you gazing into heaven? This same Jesus that went away is coming back. Can you say amen? And he's the same Jesus. He's the same God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is our God. The Jesus that walked the shores of Galilee is our Jesus. Can you say amen? Wow! And somebody said, well, J. Vernon's position was, we've got, when that is perfect has come, that is in part will be taken away. We know in part, we see in part, amen. But when that is perfect, so they consider that is perfect, the Bible, perfect revelation. No, that is perfect is when Christ comes, sets up his kingdom. We won't need the gifts of the Spirit. We won't need all of these other things. Amen. Because we'll see him face to face. We're going to rule and reign with him. Amen. When his kingdom comes, when that is perfect comes, that we know in part, but listen, when he comes, changes, don't it?
Oh, yes.
The Bible says when we see him, we're going to know him as he is, because we're going to be like him. What we know in part is going to be made full when he comes. They said, we got the book. We don't need. So the miracles are over. God only used the miracles while he was building the book and then confirmed it as the book. And then we take it as the word of God. We don't need a miracle to confirm anything. And yet we teach on prayer. We teach on answered prayer. We encourage people to pray to a God that's impotent. That if he works a miracle, he's violating their theology. Can you say amen? So he can't answer a prayer. So prayer is phony. And all the teaching on prayer is baloney. Because for God to answer a prayer, he's going to have to supernaturally intervene in the course of human affairs. Pray for my children to be saved. We ain't no need of it. God can't intervene. His hands are tied. We've got a Bible. We don't need God to move anymore. No, we got a Bible telling us about this God. Hallelujah. Listen, they went everywhere and preached the truth like we're doing from his word today. The Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. You know, one of the great signs is that when someone is convicted of the Holy Spirit, when those blind eyes are opened up, amen, and they come to Jesus Christ and they are set free from the prison of darkness and sin. Did you know that is a miracle? If anybody ever come from the grandstands in a Billy Graham crusade and walked forward and had Holy Ghost conviction on them and accepted Christ as their Savior, a mighty miracle has occurred. Because someone has passed from death to life. From darkness to light, hallelujah. From bondage to freedom. And then the other sign that he uses is healing. That's why they prayed when the gospel was threatened. Lord, Lord, distinguish yourself, hallelujah, from the false gods and the dead god of religion. Right. Distinguish yourself. How does God distinguish himself? Listen, did you know everybody's got a book? It's not enough to have a book. We believe the book, but it's just a book to everybody else. We assume everybody else respects it. They must know this word. They don't know squat. Amen. Can you say amen? All they know is you got a book. They got a book. It's called the Koran. Come on. One of the fastest growing religions in the world got a book. What distinguishes the true and the living God? Amen? It's got to be power. The gospel did not come in word only, but it came in power. It came in the Holy Ghost. And that's why it came in much assurance. Can you say amen? Amen. They said, we preach the gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. When you say you don't need the power anymore, you're going to do it on your own. We're going to appeal to men's intellect to intellect. That's not enough. For the God of this world has blinded the minds of men. You can't just appeal to their intellect. But when God's Spirit moves on someone and that darkness breaks, I once was blind, but now I see. Glory be to God. That's when you know that God, someone had a God encounter. Amen. I once was blind. The God of this world has blinded the minds of men lest they would see the glory of the gospel and be saved. Who would want to go to hell if they knew for sure they were going there? Who wouldn't come to Christ if they understood the love of God that is demonstrated in His death on the cross and His desire to be reconciled? If they really saw the awful plight of the wicked and they saw the joyous hope of the saved, who wouldn't choose Jesus? When I saw it, there was no question. Hallelujah. I said, no question. Ah, but would I have to give up my flaky friends? No, live for God. They'll quit you. And I'd rather have Jesus and know I'm going to heaven. And somebody said, what is it? Heaven don't want me and hell is afraid I'll take over. Honey, you ain't taking over nowhere. Can you say, man, I'd rather party with the, what's that? Only the good die young. I'd rather party with the sinners than die with the saints. No, honey, I'd rather die the death of the righteous. Amen. Can you say, man, I'm not going to trade this little short time here for sins, amen, to keep me from heaven. Amen. Trade it for eternity. Jesus was astonished at man's choices. He said, what would a man give in exchange for his undying eternal soul? Amen. What is it that is more important than that? We were in a funeral with about, I don't know, 250, 300 people, so many they couldn't get them in, but it kept coming down. I'm the last thing on there. Amen. After I'm done, it's done. And you could see people, when it came time for the message, amen, you could see them starting to file on out because the message is coming. The message is coming. The message is coming. And what comes through the message? Amen. The love of God. The love of God reaching out and saying, I don't want nobody lost. I don't want nobody to die without Jesus. I don't want nobody to go out of this world without the Lord. Amen. And you know what comes with that message? Without you having to say very much, conviction begins to come. It comes if you don't know the Lord. So a lot of people know it's coming. They know it's coming, so they're headed for the door. It's the message they don't want to hear. But I'm going to tell you something. If they don't ever listen to that message, a day will come when that message of God's love, that message of God's hope, that message of God's willingness to redeem will ring in their ears throughout all eternity. I don't take pleasure in knowing that, but I know that God is not wanting to make people uncomfortable, to hurt them or condemn them, but so He can save them and seal them. Can you say amen? How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation as this? This is the condemnation. Light has come into the world. Listen, God don't need a list of sins to justify condemning someone to eternal banishment and punishment. There's one glaring sin. Because all those sins could be forgiven. All the list can be forgiven. One sin. You know, there's this thing about the seven deadly sins. You know, someone asked me at work. We're in the middle of the machinery. And it's funny when people are becoming convicted by the Spirit. They ask these loaded questions that I could never talk to them about. And Some guy kind of, I guess he figured if he didn't commit one of the seven deadly ones, he could commit all those other ones. You know, that leaves me a whole lot of wiggle room. Can you say, man? Because it's gluttony and it's murder and it's, you know, and you know, so because we have decided, somebody got together and figured out there were seven deadly ones. That means all the rest of them you get by with, I guess. Can you? No, that's not true. So he asked me, he said, what about the seven deadly sins? He said, he started naming some things he had heard. I said, no, that's incorrect. I said, it's completely incorrect. I said, all sin is deadly. All of it, every last one of them,
amen.
According to the scripture.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. He said, ooh. Because, see, he was going to try to avoid those seven and see what was left. See what I can get by with. I said, the Bible said he that offends in one point that is guilty of the whole law. And it also says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in archery, it would mean not to just miss the bullseye. It would mean to miss the target completely. Come on, the arrow's nowhere near the target. We've missed it. We've all missed it. Amen. And that's why he sent a Savior. And that's why he is so precious. Can you say amen? I said, but there is one sin. One sin. One sin. The Bible said it's singular. And his interest perked up because he sure wanted to watch that one. I said, light. The scripture said light, that illuminating, the light has shined in the darkness and the darkness comprehendeth it not. The light has come. Can you say amen? Praise God. Light has come into this world. Light and truth and revelation through Jesus Christ. Light has come into this sin-darkened world. And men loved darkness better than light. Amen. God is saying he died for the sins of the whole world. There's no reason for anyone on that planet, laden with their sins as they are, there's no reason for one of them to be lost, one of them to be damned, one of them to go to hell. Light has come, but men love darkness better than light. For he that is of the light doesn't run from the light. We run to the light, that our deeds be manifest, that they are wrought in light. But he is of the darkness, despises the light, and runs deeper into the darkness. It's running from the one that's calling us to be saved that will damn your soul. Not just the sins, but the running from the light. The constant choosing the darkness over the light. There's no one in here that's committed a sin that can't be forgiven. That unpardonable sin is attributing to the Holy Spirit the works of the devil himself. Amen. And that means we're rejecting the illuminating, convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And the only way, no man comes to me except how? Except my Father draw. Who did he send to do that? What is his agent to do that? Amen. Amen. The Bible said when the Holy Spirit has come, he will convince, which the actual Greek is convict, the world of sin. It is an uncomfortable feeling. Can you say amen to sit in a church and feel that? But it's love. I want you to know it's love. Listen, don't sit in a church where you can be comfortable in your sin. If you're sitting in a church where you can not feel conviction, amen. There are people not here this morning. Because they know if they come in that door, they're going to be pressed upon by God. Not by me, but by God. God is going to call them if they come in here. And they'd rather sit somewhere in a crowd where they don't feel conviction. Where they're comfortable with their sin. I don't want to ever get comfortable with the sin that Satan's trying to destroy me with. Hallelujah. Amen. Confession of sin and repentance is a joyous event. Amen. He said, when that happens, go and eat the fat and drink the sweet. For the joy of the Lord is your strength in the book of Nehemiah. It's in the context of people weeping and howling and repenting. He said, I don't want you to stay weeping. I just want you to do that about face in your heart. And the day that you do it, amen, the day that you turn around, you don't need to do any penance. And you don't have to have any further sorrowing. It's a day of great rejoicing. In fact, it's a time of feasting instead of fasting. Can you say amen? Go and kill the fatted calf was the order of the day when repentance took place. Hallelujah. It's a joyous thing. David said, when I held it in, my bones, it got down in my bones, this roaring all day long, no peace. Roaring in my bones. Amen. And my moisture was turned to drought. He's a king, but he can't enjoy all of that rich food. He can't enjoy all the wealth. He can't enjoy all the material blessings because he's not right with God. But oh, everybody say, oh, what a relief it was. Amen. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Since I laid my burden down. Can you say, man, when that burden of guilt, that burden of sin is laid down, there's a glory, hallelujah. Praise God in the heart. There's nothing like it in all of the world. The old timer said it's better felt than telt. I can try to explain it, but if you haven't experienced it, you'll never know what I'm talking about. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But if you ever get a hold of this forgiveness and you get cleaned up on the inside and get your sins under the blood of Jesus, amen, there's a hallelujah that comes up in your heart. And like the man said in India last night, isn't it wonderful? Isn't it? Are you a Christian? Yes, I am. Isn't it wonderful? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful? Hallelujah. Praise God. Isn't it wonderful? In this world you shall have tribulation. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. After you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. And you have need of patience, therefore, that after you've done the will of God, Hebrews chapter 10, that you might receive the promise. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For he that shall come. We're not talking about the second coming of Jesus or the rapture. We're talking about God manifesting himself to you. God coming through. Amen. God showing up. Praise God. God answering your prayer. Hallelujah. He that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. In other words, when he says it's time, nothing's going to stop him. Nothing can hold him back. Praise God. Hallelujah. Don't throw away your confidence. You need patience. But he answers those prayers, and he manifests himself in the midst of that persecution and temptation. After you were illuminated, something came to weaken you down. Afflictions. And there are many of them in the old covenant. It said, many are the afflictions. Can you say, man, Satan has desired to have you. He wants to hurt you so bad. He wants to sift you as the wheat, but I have prayed for you. I have stood up. I have interceded in your behalf. Praise God, hallelujah. That your faith fail not. And then when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. Can you say amen? In other words, when God brings you through, he gives you a very special and unique ministry. Amen? Comfort one another with the same comfort wherein you are comforted in the Lord. Can you say amen? There's somebody here that's been through a divorce. They know how bad it feels. They know how the psychologists say it's easier to get over a death of a loved one than it is a divorce. Because in death, no one is rejecting you. Your memories are one who loved you, and it hurts you to think about that person not being there. But in divorce, someone has walked away from you, broke a covenant with you, and said, I do not love you or want to be with you anymore. And it's harder to get over the pain of divorce than the pain of even the death of a loved one, psychologically and emotionally. Amen. I have a wife of going on 48 years. I don't know that pain. But there are people in the body of Christ and in this very room that know that pain and that sense of rejection. And God God brought them through that anguish, and God brought them through, and grace was found to be sufficient. Amen. And for someone whose heart is broken, there's someone here. There are people here who knows about child abuse. There's people here who knows about drunkenness. There's people here who knows about the depths of depravity and sin. Amen. But God has brought them through. Can you say amen? God has brought them through. Hallelujah. And we become such instruments in His hand, the ones He has brought through to minister that grace to each other. Hallelujah. Praise God. And to be an encouragement to one another. Praise God. Amen. Nothing is lost. No experience in life. God takes everything and uses it for His glory and our good and the good of others. I remember going through nervous exhaustion and thinking, I have failed. My faith has failed. Maybe my God is even failing me. Those thoughts would creep into my mind, amen, because it seemed there was no relief. And I went through such pain and pressure. And I remember testifying to that effect and how God would give me grace for each day and take me through each day somehow, just enough grace to get through another day. Amen. And I remember getting that letter from the preacher in Indiana that was going through something himself and questioning God's faithfulness, his own faith and his calling. And he said, I was prepared to turn in my credentials. I'm an evangelist, and I'll tell you the denomination, evangelist with the Church of God. Pentecostal organization. When I heard that tape, he said, I had my credentials ready to mail in. I'm done with ministry. I'm done evangelizing. I don't know what's going on between me and God, and how can I go preach faith to others? He said, but when I heard your testimony, I took courage. It strengthened me. And he said, I want you to know, preacher, I'm not going to turn in my credentials. And I still don't understand everything, but I'm committing to trust God. And he said, if it's any consolation through your pain, I have been healed. And I said, now I understand why no one could just lay hands on me for that one. I had to walk through it with God, because God didn't want to just touch me. But he wanted to touch that man in Indiana who couldn't relate to just having a snap answer. Can you say amen? Amen? And everything just being smooth. He was in the furnace of affliction. He needed to understand, even though he felt isolated, he was never alone in there. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Things are not as they seem. I said things are not as they seem in that furnace of affliction. I told you about the man in the airplane that they let him bring his dog on first class. He rented two seats, one for him and his C&I dog. They let him take it right up into the first class, sit with it, back in the day when you could do that. And it was C&I dog, big German Shepherd. and he was sitting there. He didn't even have to change planes. Other people had to get off. Others had to get on. They landed. Everybody got off but the blind man. And the pilot knew him because he flew this flight very often with his dog. And the pilot come back and said, how are you, John? He said, I'm fine. He's blind. And the pilot said, boy, it's a bright sunny day. He said, you want to get off, stretch your legs. It's going to be about 30 minutes before we load back up and continue our journey. And he said, no, sir. He said, I'm just fine. He said, well, John, how about the dog? He said, oh, man, I think it'd be good if that dog got out. Amen. For a little while. Amen. He said, well, I'll take him out. Amen. And so he reached in his pocket, pulled out his sunglasses because it's a bright sunny day. The pilot did. And he come down the ramp with the dog in his sunglasses. And the people waiting to board the train started fidgeting. Things are not always as they seem. Can you say amen? Things are not always as they seem. And I'm going to tell you, in that furnace of affliction, it seems like heaven is brass and God has forsaken us. That's not true. Whether you can see Him like they did, like Shadrach, I don't even know if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saw Him. The Bible didn't say they saw no fourth man in there. They didn't see nothing to begin with. Can you say amen? They said, our God that we serve is able to deliver us. But whether He does or whether He does not, we're not bowing to another God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! It takes more faith to say that than it does to just go out and say, I know nothing can harm me today. There will be no test in me today. Nothing can test me. I have no problems. All I have is solutions. Every time I hear that kind of talk, I think of Tiny Tim. Remember Tiny Tim? Tiptoe through the windows, through the tulips in the window pane. I'll tiptoe. I can see a man in a tutu when they talk like that. Tiptoe through the tulips with me. How did he get on Johnny Carson with his ukulele? I think of that. After you were illuminated, the target, you became the target of Satan's anger, of this world system, amen, everything in your own flesh, amen. And God says, in this world you'll have Phelps's, be of good cheer. Cheer up. Don't let that get you down. I have overcome the world. Well, what does that mean to me? Because he's in us, and greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Literally in the Greek it said, I've robbed it of power to harm you. Praise God. He said, and you know what he prayed? He said, Father, I don't pray you take them out of the world because they're there for a purpose. We're here for a purpose. We're here as witnesses unto him. Amen. But I pray you keep them from the evil one. Can you say amen? Don't take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil one. Brother Hodges used to say, if you really got Jesus in your heart, you're a real deal, authentic Christian, and you've got the victory, you can live in a duplex with the devil, a half a block from hell, and keep the victory.
All right.
Amen. Amen. Doesn't matter that the devil's active in this world. God is active in his church. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I said God is active in his church. Amen. We don't need an impotent God. We need a powerful God, and we have a powerful God. And you can grow in the furnace of affliction. I haven't even read this, but I'll read it quick. These people were growing. I'll read it quickly. 2 Thessalonians 1:1-8. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. And the charity, that agape love of every one of you all toward each other abounds, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing for God to recompense tribulation to them that troubled you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of his power, when he shall come and be glorified in his saints and admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore we also pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of his calling, to fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You're under the gun, but God is with you. You're under the gun, but your faith is growing. You're under the gun, but your love is overflowing. You're under the gun, but you're enduring it. Hallelujah. Amen. We live in a day, someone said, when evil seems to be winning on every hand. How do you live above the chances, changes, and circumstances in life? What is your security when hunted down like an animal because of your love for Christ? The Apostle Paul demonstrated in his life the believer can experience peace in the middle of the fire. Day is coming when evil will receive its just reward. Remember, he said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. God, who is judge of all, sees all. He will repay affliction to those who afflict his people. But this is no tit for tat. It involves the righteousness of God. And his letter is also an example of a grace-oriented ministry to people who are hurting. The principles we learn from this passage give us strength to face everyday life filled with pressures, and it gives us the resources to help people who are hurting. Amen?
Amen.
Think it not strange, the fiery trial that has come to try you, as some strange thing has happened unto you. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able to bear. Who will with the temptation make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. I love that part. But God is faithful. Hallelujah. I've been faithful to my calling to preach for one reason. Because God is faithful to me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That's why Paul said, I am faithful. I'm not going to tell you I'm unfaithful because I'm being faithful to my calling. But he said, the reason I'm faithful, it's not that we are sufficient as of anything of ourselves, for our sufficiency is of the Lord. It's not my faith in my faith. It's my faith in his faithfulness. Can you say amen? And great is his faithfulness. Hallelujah. God is faithful. God is faithful. All I can say today is God is faithful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That means God gets all the glory for all of our victories, not our faith. We can attribute nothing to our intelligence, ingenuity, or even our great faith. If he wasn't faithful to us, no one could stand. Can you say, man? I've told this story before. I've got to tell it in closing. He's an American guy, the first American to climb Mount Everest and plant the American flag. He was in National Geographic. He was in all the periodicals. But the story is told that he actually gave out before he reached the summit. Just before reaching the summit, the air was so thin and his conditioning wasn't such, and he gave out. He couldn't take another step. But his guide that was from that country, a Sherpa, I think they call it, is it Sherpa? Sherpa? Amen. Those people who live in that environment, that's where they are from. They live in it. He passed him up. He's just a guide. He passed him up. Got up on the summit, threw him a rope, pulled him up with his strength. Pulled this guy that couldn't take another step on up to the top so he could just plant the flag. As soon as he plants the flag, everybody taking pictures of him. But if it wasn't for that guide, it pulled him on up to the top, hauled his bohunkus up there. Can you say amen? Honey, I'm going to tell you something. Can I say bohunkus in church? Amen. It's all right. Pamela said it is. She's my monitor over here. Listen. If you're up on a mountaintop, here's a news flash. Your faith didn't get you there. Unless your faith was in his faithfulness. And if your faith is in his faithfulness, you're not going to plant your flag when you get up there. You're going to plant his. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? To God be the glory. I said to God be the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. All over the papers, amen, this American's name is now a part of history of the first man to plant the American flag. But honey, it was that guy that yanked him on up there that showed him how to get to the top and then pulled him up. Amen. There's somebody that showed me how to walk in victory and pulls me up when I don't have any strength. To God be the glory. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. To God be the glory. We got to hurry and finish. We're almost done. We're not coming back tonight. He said your faith is growing in affliction. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And not only does your faith grow, he said your love is overflowing. Praise God. Everybody say overflowing. That word is a word like a river that comes over its banks in a flood tide. It abounds for one another. The charity of every one of you aboundeth. That means to overflow. The love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater. Paul prayed for their love to increase in his first letter. His prayer was, may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all men, just as we do for you. Praise God. And you know when that took place in times of pressure? God's love becomes more important and evident. Yes. This man said back here today, he said, and he couldn't hardly get it out. He said, when I came for prayer, people gathered around me. See, they didn't just lay on hands as a point of contact for the anointing to flow. They laid on hands because they had compassion. Jesus did more than let anointing flow. Love flowed from him. When he saw them bringing the sick and the blind and the halt and the lame, before he touched anybody, he was moved with compassion. Can you say, man? I said he was moved with compassion. Praise God. When they got near Jesus, they felt the love of God flowing. Before any power to heal, the love of God was flowing. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. The love of God kicks in. That compassion kicks in and he says, I will be thou made clean. And God healed that hand. How can you say, man? Amen. I felt it before. I had a lesion on my tongue. And when they gathered around me and put their hands on me, I felt the love of God. And right after the love of God, I felt the power of God. Can you say, man, praise the Lord? But love preceded the power. We've got people today, amen, touting the power, but they don't demonstrate the compassion. They don't demonstrate the love. Can you say, man? They're talking power instead of a person. And it's a person that this power flows from. Hallelujah. And they become proud and haughty and self-willed. As we go to him to seek refuge, we discover the tenderness and the tenacity of his love for us. The same love that flows to us in our brokenness flows through us to others. Say that with me. The same love that flows to us in our brokenness flows through us to others. And the result is abounding love. Abounding love. Praise God. We're to love one another as he loved us. Abounding love for one another does not result from our commitment to love in our strength, but by receiving Christ's great love for us and letting that same love flow out to others. Amen. He asked the Father to love us with the same love that he loved Jesus with. And he asked us to love one another with that self same love. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God's love must first flow to us before it can flow through us to somebody else. You know, God does wonderful things to save people. And he needs a lover of souls, a lover of people, to not think of himself, but to think of others, for God to do that wonderful work. And this is a great Tristan testimony to me. It happened in January of 2000. It's a kind of an old testimony, 11 years ago. But Alaska Airlines suffered its worst air disaster in January of 2000 when Flight 261 crashed off the California coast and 88 people instantly lost their life. An investigator who has listened to the cockpit voice recorder reported that during the last 9 minutes of the flight, the plane just somehow quit. It had some kind of problem in the sky. And the last 9 minutes, according to the voice recorder, a pastor's wife from Washington State can be heard leading the passengers in the sinner's prayer for salvation. The pilot involved in the crash investigation not the one that was flying the plane, but involved in the investigation, also told that the flight recorder, data recorder, indicated that there is no explanation for the plane remaining in the air for those 9 minutes that she was praying the sinner's prayer. Talk about a miracle. So many of those souls were not ready to face eternity. That plane quit, but it stayed up for 9 minutes while a pastor's wife led those people in the sinner's prayer that wanted to be saved. And then it dived the moment she said, amen. It dived, and that was it. That's love. That's love. That's when you're not just praying for yourself. They tell me that the chaplains during World War II, when some of those great ships, warships, they had to abandon them. They were on fire and men had to jump into the water without life vests and without life rafts. And some of them couldn't even swim. And if they could, they couldn't stay afloat for long. Men who were rescued said they saw the chaplains taking off their life vest and throwing them to those men. And those chaplains drowned and those men lived. And when they asked a chaplain, why do you think they did that? He said, because those men knew when they died where they would go. But they didn't know about those souls down in that water. And they said, I'd rather throw the life vest. You see, this self message, amen, doesn't take off the life vest so someone else can live. Are you listening to me? This serve God for selfish reasons doesn't love enough to care about somebody else, doesn't see the value of sacrifice for the sake of souls. It's a self-indulgence instead of a self-denial. Can you say amen? I said it's for self-indulgent reasons. And it sounds good because it sounds like God wants us to be like this self-indulgent world. And if God was like that, that's why it's such heresy. It's not just missing it a little bit. It's not communicating the true character of the God that we serve. It's a pseudo-Christ and a pseudo-God. God of man's own making. Instead of the God who made man. For God so loved that he gave his son. I don't mean just sending him down here to preach and heal people. When he sent him here, he sent him here to go to that cross specifically. He gave him up to death. He gave his son, his only begotten son. Can you say amen? And for Christ so loved that he gave his life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this man hanging on the cross said it's better to give than to receive. That's what he taught us. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm glad for this God. Aren't you glad for this God? God's love flourishes even in fiery trials. It's supernatural, therefore it's powerful and enduring and embraces us and will not let us go. Praise God. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that faith can grow in the furnace of affliction? And love can flow. Amen. Because persecutions come, we circle the wagons. Amen. We stand together. We gather around each other, pray for one another, bear one another's burdens, lift up the hands that hang down. Nobody's going to reach through that television tube and do that for you. Can you say amen? Amen. I know I've been down on my knees crawling on all fours to get over and put my hand on that cold glass or that warm glass. Amen. I got down one time, I think it was Pat Robinson, getting a word of knowledge, and I was going through that nervous exhaustion. I was so sick. Amen. I hated to see the sun go down. The torment started when it started to darken. Amen. I got on my hands and knees off the couch, and I crawled to the television set, put my hand on the television set, and I'm not criticizing him, but I thought today, God is going to see my crushed state, and he's going to graciously move. Today is my day. Hallelujah. Amen. They're going to say there's a preacher in Tampa that needs a touch. And I'm going to say it's me, it's me, it's me, it's me, it's me. Can you say amen? And I got over there, and you know what he got that day? The word of knowledge was someone has an ingrown toenail. You cannot even wear your shoes. And they haven't been able to do nothing. You're in pain. And God is healing that right now. And that added to my... I thought, dear Lord, here I am. Feel like I can't get another breath. My heart going to beat out of my chest. Amen. Feel like the devil's jumping up and down on top of me. Trying to hurt me more and destroy me. And God, you're healing an ingrown toenail. They could cut my toe off. If I could just get this healed. You understand this is going on? Go ahead. I don't need that thing. I can walk. Amen. Come on. Monkeys do it all the time. Praise God. I can walk without that toe. Amen. I'm the one. Why not get me out of this furnace? He thinks that's a furnace with his big toe hurting. I'm not talking about the gout now. The gout is a furnace. I'm talking about the ingrown toenail. Amen. Just cut that bad boy off and let me get on with my business. I wish there was something in me God could have just reached in. And I wish I could have went to a surgeon that got down in me and took that out of me. Praise God. There wasn't nobody can get that out of me. Only God's grace. And why did he wait? Because he wanted to heal a man. He's about to quit preaching. This in the furnace of affliction. Didn't understand that your faith can grow there. And your love can flow there. Can you say amen? And he can establish, strengthen. I either had to give up on God or dig deeper. I decided I cannot give up on God. So I must dig deeper. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Establish you. Strengthen you. When I'm weak, then am I made strong. And settle you. That's like concrete setting up. Can you say amen? Yes. Hallelujah. You better do what you're going to do before it sets up. Because when it sets up, you ain't going to... Come on, you poured... This man back here poured this big long thing you walk in on so when it rains, you don't get ankle deep in water. Can you say amen? You had to work quickly, didn't you, sir? Yes, sir. Because if you wait too long, what's going to happen? It's going to set up like it is. Praise God. Well, there's a bad to that and there's a good to that. The good is when you get in that furnace, that kiln. Everybody say K-I-L-N. That kiln. That's where they take that vessel when it's shaped like they want it to keep it like they want it so it don't just mush back out. Amen. They stick it in the furnace. You thought you were done when the potter had you on the wheel spinning you round and round. It was kind of fun, wasn't it? Round and round we go. Where we stop, nobody knows. God touching me. God touching me. I feel him touching me here and touching me there. It's so good. It's so good. It's so good. And God gets you right where he wants you and you say, oh, this is so good. Amen. And then what happens? What do they do with that vessel? What's the next step?
Fire.
The kiln. It ain't done. You ain't done. Can you say, man, you just think you're done. You ain't done. If he don't put it in the kiln to be cured, it won't stay like he made it. After you've suffered for a while, establish, strengthen, and settle. Glory be to God. I pray that I've been in the kiln long enough that no matter what happens between this year and next year, that next year, no matter how many ups and how many downs and the ins and the outs, that you will find a man, amen, declaring God is faithful. God is good. God is on the throne. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But if you do, it's because I've been in that furnace and faith grew there. Praise God. That's a blessedness of brokenness. And love flourished. You get in that place, you want to be merciful to people because you're so desperate for God's mercy. You just don't want to hold no grudges or unforgiveness and don't want to be, listen, you want to be you want to be authoritative and accurate, biblically truthful, but you just don't want to nail somebody for the sake of saying, I'm right and you're wrong. Amen. Can you say, man? Amen. It's different. It's different. It's different. because you're different. Praise God. Amen. Will you stand to your feet? The Lord is good. We're getting ready to close. And I want to close with a song, and we'll go have a good time of fellowship. And the Lord willing, if you can stay, you're welcome to fellowship today. Amen. How many people are going to look at your trials a little bit differently? Amen. 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 How many go hang in with God and let Him take you through?
Amen.
If He doesn't take you from, then He intends to take you through. He's not going to leave you there. And He's not going to leave you the same either, praise God. He's a good and gracious God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. The only way I can take you from the trials and tests of life would be to take you home, take you out of this world. But I have purposed that you be in this fallen world for a time such as this. For many need to hear of the grace and the love that I have to give them. And yea, saith God, my people will not perish. Those my Father hath given me, no man shall pluck them from my hand. For the Father that gave them to me is greater than them all. Fear them not, saith God, for I am with thee, and I will keep thee from the hour of temptation that is coming to try all the inhabitants of the earth, saith the Spirit of God. There's a day coming, friend, when everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. But there's a holy purpose in it, so that that which cannot be shaken might remain. Hallelujah. Amen. There is a church that cannot and will not be shaken. Praise God. Hallelujah. There, God has always had a people. Amen. There's always been a remnant that wouldn't bow to another God. Hallelujah. Wouldn't back up even when they didn't understand. He has those. Amen. I do not believe Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saw the fourth man. They didn't need to see him. God revealed himself to the king. They didn't need to see him. They said, if God wants to deliver us, he will. I don't have to see nothing, feel nothing. He's got the power to deliver us. But if he decides not to, and this is how we seal our faith, we bow to no other God. That's called established in the faith. Can you say, man, there's no wishy-washy here, and there's no ulterior motive for serving God except that he is God. Amen? God's looking for that from his church today. Can you say, man? Praise God. And I believe right here, we're one of those. Amen. And when we get to heaven, we're going to be among that number that John saw. These are they who have come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We win, the devil loses. Heaven is going to be our home forever, and the world didn't give it to us. The world can't take it from us. Praise God. Amen. Can we just dedicate right now for this year? Would you make a commitment of your heart? We're in the kingdom for a time such as this. Your church needs you to be faithful. Your brothers and sisters need you to be there for them. They need you to be connected. Amen. Not when it's convenient. They need something more than a convenient commitment. Amen. They need a commitment. When someone needs prayer, they need to know that the brothers and sisters will come forward and lay hands on them and they'll love them. And when you need prayer, you will have the same privilege. Amen? That we can be interconnected and interdependent. And God can build a strong church here. Before we ever pour a foundation back there or lay a brick or a block, that God can build the church right here. I've been healed because people gathered around me and prayed for me. I'm so glad I don't have to fly to Tulsa to find an anointing to heal me. I'm glad where love flows, power shows up. Aren't you glad for that today? That Jesus is here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's have this song. We'll dismiss. We're running. The whole service has been notched forward, so I didn't preach as long as you think I did. Amen. Number one. Bring it up.